So here's the question. In the print and packaging supply chain, how do we deliver new ideas and innovative practices to continually improve your profit, your brand, and your quality? Welcome to the Gamut Podcast, and I am your host, Jeff Collins, Director of Print Technologies for ID Alliance. We are a nonprofit global think tank serving the graphic communications industry with 12 offices strategically located around the world to better support our membership. You can support the Gamut Podcast and content like this by becoming a member at ID Alliance by going to www.idalliance.org. Today's episode is sponsored by Kodak. Kodak is a global technology company focused on print and advanced materials and chemicals. They provide industry-leading hardware, software, consumables, and services primarily to customers in commercial print, packaging, publishing, manufacturing, and entertainment. On today's Gamut Podcast, we're happy to have, and you guys are going to love this, if you're in production and you're running a Heidelberg press, we have Jim Tillery, the product manager from Heidelberg USA. Very happy to have him on. And Jim has tremendous credibility, having started out on the plant floor, moving up to press room supervisor for the Nielsen company, working in sheet fed operations for Hennigan, quality assurance, quality control, and he has been at Heidelberg since 2008, leading that team here in the United States. So great to have Jim on, and you guys are in for a treat to hear about their new solutions and to hear Jim's thoughts on how printers can improve their bottom line with not just solutions, but a cultural mindset of continual improvement and process control. Jim, thanks for joining the Gamut Podcast. Great to have you on today.
Well, Jeff, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Look forward to our discussion. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Jim, absolutely. And we're very grateful to have you on with us today. And I would love for you, we spoke earlier prior to the podcast to kind of get familiar with one another. And I was very impressed by your background and your role as product manager at Heidelberg USA. And I was hoping you could share a little bit about that, that you shared with me earlier.
Well, my official title is a product manager sheet fed. I work with colleagues in technical sales and kind of a liaison between the Heidelberg U.S. office located in Kennesaw, Georgia, colleagues throughout the country, and colleagues, of course, at our factory in Germany. I've been with the company coming up on 12 years, came out of the industry, serving a number of positions as press room manager, supervisor, operating both web and sheet fed, got into the trade in high school and fell in love with it. And here I am many, many years later, over 40, to be honest.
Well, that's a good thing on the Gamut Podcast, because many of the most valuable stories and engaging content and educational experiences that we have are from people like you that have seen the industry change radically over the last 30, 40 years with, you know, digital technology, microchips, sensors, etc. So, you know, we often find printers that have solutions, presses, possibly Heidelberg presses and others that have been using those presses for, you know, in excess of 20 years. There's, you know, very high mileage and some a little, you know, less, but in any event, you know, considering the current situation in the economy and COVID, we've canceled Drupa, unfortunately. And I know Heidelberg is a huge supporter of Drupa and typically one of the key OEMs at that event historically. And I kind of wanted to see, you know, your take on the current situation in the industry as far as press technology and aging equipment, older presses versus, you know, some of the new models that we have and new technology with automation, and really kind of compare and contrast to help users and printers that are, you know, still using some of the older solutions, and how they can get the best out of those solutions, and what do they have to look forward to as far as automation, you know, improving MakeReady and all the features that you would find on a modern Heidelberg press.
Yes, Drupa, we're looking forward to that. Was looking forward, and that, of course, has been postponed till next year. So we're still excited to share a lot of the technology that we've got coming out this year, calling it the Drupa 2020 technology. But most of the customers, of course, will see that next year. But I think we kind of take a look back at where we are currently in the industry. We kind of try to keep our finger on the pulse, so to speak. And I think when you look overall out there, and mainly the commercial, some label packaging world, the average age of a press, believe it or not, is 18, 19 years old. So there is still some pent-up demand out there. And the challenge with equipment at that age is competing in today's marketplace. You've got mostly mechanical adjustments, lack of automation or limited automation on those machines. And so you end up with MakeReadies that are anywhere from maybe 20 to 30 minutes, best case, or worst case, maybe an hour or more, depending on the complexity of the job. So they're the printers in that market space with those equipment, they're battling high waste due to lack of automation. Maybe it's wear and tear on the equipment, slow production results, again, as a result of some of the lacking in automation. And again, we're more fighting the press than we are running it. And I think also the increase that we have in downtime, in some cases, people fighting parts availability, the time it takes to lubricate the machine because of so many touch points on the machine that they have to have to look after. So a lot of those things. And then I think we look at the age. I can say this because I am one, a gray-haired man. The average age of today's operator is somewhere mid to high 50s.
Right.
And the challenge, you know, number one challenge really in North America is finding the skilled workforce. You know, where do these people come from? How do we promote the industry? So we have to take a nationwide search in terms of looking to replace operators. Bring them into our system and then train them. And maybe we have to go out, and I've seen this, you probably have as well, maybe you have to go out and induce someone to come to our organization from across town and then retrain them to our specification. So, and again, the aging factor is, overtime takes its toll. We're trying to produce more with less people, and so we have our people working more hours. And then, of course, I think there's the challenge of, again, the operators, where they come from, and the lack of graphic arts trade schools. We saw a number of these, go by the wayside over the last couple of decades. So it's a big challenge.
And at Heidelberg, can you share with us some of the things that you do as a company to solve that problem that you just discussed? How do you elevate the skill level of operators that may not have, a high level of experience or high level of skill set? And nowadays it's typically, on the OEM to provide training that was typically provided by apprenticeship programs or union apprenticeship programs in schools. That's where I came from, and that's how I entered the industry, was through the union and starting out as an apprentice and then eventually becoming a journeyman. And how does Heidelberg approach, what's the strategy to tackle and solve that problem?
Well, a lot of it starts with the machine itself, and the old adage of you can't improve what you don't measure. And we see so many drifted into the realm of OEE, overall equipment effectiveness. And I think that's, when we look at that, the average today, pretty much throughout all formats, is somewhere in the neighborhood of 25 to 27% effectiveness. And on the whole, that's average, but we would consider that kind of low.
Right.
And this is just a key, performance indicator, based on lean manufacturing. Everyone's today pretty much familiar with that. But we as a manufacturer expect that will double in the coming years. It's looking at things from the output stance and saying, okay, what's hampering this? Is it the machine? Is it the operator? Is it the skill sets that's lacking? We know that we have to continually look at things in all areas. If we say that it's 25%, then there's 75% out there that's maybe achievable. We can never get to 100, obviously. I mean, if you took a modern day Speedmaster 106 running at 18,000 an hour and ran it 24/7, you never shut it off, all you did is produce good product, then you'd have 158 million at the end of the year, which is just, wouldn't that be nice? But in theory, that might be possible. But in reality, we do have to stop. We have to maintain the machine. We have to grease it, repair it, what have you. We do have to make ready. So when we kind of look at that as a chart and say, okay, we've got 27% of effectiveness, then we look at the, maintenance and technical availability, the time it takes to make ready, the average production speed and those numbers, and all the automation on the machine, those areas that we can address with things like IntelliStart, which is a GPS for the printing press we introduced many years ago. We've made several enhancements to it. It standardizes the make ready. It takes the operator completely through the make ready process. Because the more that a machine relies on its operator, the less productive, the less effective it is going to be. So we can add all these pieces of automation and really open up that window. We still have to deal with the human element, or as we call today, the yellow bar. Blue meaning the OEE, the gray area of a chart, all the automation and the change over time. And then we have the human potential. And that's what we need to focus on.
I see.
We look at the machine. It's typically the highest cost center in a printing plant. And we focus on that. And I think what we need to do, we're learning at this point, is we need to expand that. We need a global approach, if you will, in the overall organization. What is feeding it? You mentioned COVID earlier in the economy, the challenge we're faced with right now. And printers deemed to be essential workers, but at the same time, everything that's feeding it was deemed not. And so it's kind of taken its toll. And that's the kind of approach we have to look at. We have to look at everything that's surrounding it from the time the salesman sells the job until it leaves the shipping dock. Everything that's happening in that entire process must be optimized. We have to reduce touch points as much as possible. We have to look at all of our waste. If I have to move a skid out of my way because it's in my way, that is waste. It does no value to the customer, to the organization. And so we put it a lot of artificial intelligence. If we look at the printing press, the 18-year-old printing press, the rollers, the blankets, feeder delivery, all those attributes. And we look at the machine today. It really, overall, the design has not changed dramatically. There's been enhancements to all of those components, but what's really changed is the software. We know Moore's law from years ago that said that the amount of information on a computer chip, for example, is going to double every year, and it has, and it continues to do that. It's slowed down a little bit, maybe every year and a half, but it's still compounding on itself. We see that in our presses today with the artificial intelligence and the computerized systems that we have, the assistant systems that we're coming out with. And it's you take a press that's 18 years old and running a few shifts, 5 days a week, maybe it produced 18, 20, 22 million a year. That same machine is doing upwards of 60, 70, 80. We've got machines doing over 90 million impressions a year. Same technology, but the software is driving it. And what's driving it is the artificial intelligence that allows the operator to be navigated through the entire process. For example, during a make ready, The operator now has a screen that shows up, tells him or her what to do. It goes to the next screen and guides the operator completely through the process. So they're only looking at the information that they need to. And then from the training standpoint, obviously Heidelberg has great training systems and service departments that allow a technician to come on site and work with operators, demonstrators, if you will. Our training center in Kennesaw, Georgia, for our North American headquarters of our print media demonstration center. We do a lot of training there on site. We even have operators that, you know, maybe and maintenance staff that would go to the factory for maintenance equipment training. So a lot of that is, of course, as you said, driven by the OEM, and it has to be. When you look at the press today, you know, if you use an automotive type of thought process, we used to buy cars based on the speed, the motor. Guys like me love the muscle cars, the horsepower, how fast it got off the line, how many cylinders were under the hood, what was the capacity or the displacement of the engine. Today, we look at what's the press what's the car have on it? Does it have how many cup holders? Does it have a navigation system? What's the stereo sound like? Does my phone connect to it to make sure that I can get my tunes playing through the radio? Does it have internet? You know, we got Bluetooth services. Does the car have autonomous driving or parking assist or a truck that I can just throw a knob on there and turn and back my trailer up with? How are the safety systems, the airbags? What's the fuel economy?
Yeah.
You know, by the way, what's under the hood is, you know, the last thing we seem to look at today. And it's the same way, you know, when you look at a printing press. We used to look at the mechanical speed. Maybe there was a technical feature that we thought was unique. You know, processing times of a single component.
Is there one technical feature that we feel is going to give us an advantage? Something we look at the processing times of maybe it was plate hangers or something like that. And then, of course, we want to know, is service available? You know, how far away is the closest mechanic and how soon can he get here when we have a problem? Operator training, of course, as you mentioned earlier, you know, are we going to get enough training? Do we need to do that on site? Do we have to go somewhere? And then, you know, what other automated features might this machine have? But when you look at that today, by comparison, you know, we look at kind of in a similar fashion with a press today. We're looking at, you know, OEE. What's the net output? What can we expect to achieve on this machine and do our ROI? How many touch points can we reduce as a result of this automation? Mm-hmm. And then the total process optimization of the machine. Everything is working together in sync, talking to each other. Preventative services and uptime. We're looking at remote diagnostics on the machine. Heidelberg is somewhere in the neighborhood of 65-70% fix rate over the phone. Very interactive displays and how that works, as well as preventive calls. The machine is turned on. We're connected to it. We are connected to over 10,000 machines worldwide, and we're using big data.
Right.
Stop. We have to take care of the dog here.
We've no worries.
Make an adjustment.
Hang on. I have one too.
All right. He's outside. He'll only bother the neighbors.
What kind of dog do you have?
It's a golden doodle.
That's a favorite of my daughter's, and great. It's a great breed, no doubt about it. But we can talk about that another. That's another podcast, actually. So. Getting back to how you work with your customers, and you mentioned big data. That's, I'm sure, a huge piece of the puzzle, being able to solve problems remotely. As well, you guys have a very robust team that I'm sure works directly with your customers. Each customer is different. And how do you guys approach, and what is your strategy to continually improve your current customer base or future customers? Is it a series of assessments, audits, integration plans? That's the kind of stuff that would love to share with our listeners to see, you know, really the key points of how you make your customers successful with your people and your teams.
You know, it's interesting. We have a complete team that goes in, and I've been privileged to work with them on several occasions to go in and see what exactly is happening. We have customers that are, of course, under contract with us, with our service, and included in that is, you know, we supply them with a monthly call, and we review all of the dynamics, you know, the number of make readies, the weigh sheets, the performance of the machine, the OE numbers. All that is something that we provide for our customers, a number of customers each and every day, as well as having online assistance and things like that. Training programs and things like that. What's interesting to me is going in and finding out what is really happening on the shop floor. If it's particularly if it's a new customer, a new project, something like that. I think it's interesting to look at companies that, no matter what the economy is doing, and these are interesting times, but in general terms, everybody understands what's going on in the organization, why we're here, and that's, you know, not necessarily make a profit. That's expected. Everybody knows their role. Everybody understands the procedures that are in place, what happens if they're not followed, how they affect the overall organization, communication, top down, bottom up. No matter what's going on, those are the customers that seem to thrive through whatever, you know, economy, political environment, what have you. And I think that's what's key. What we find oftentimes going into shops is there's often a disconnect. Expectations aren't clearly spelled out. We've got standard operating procedures that are not streamlining, but they're hamstringing us. And sometimes it's just, you know, it's the basics. What we consider and we've talked about for years, sometimes a fresh set of eyes can just be that aha moment when people realize, you know, the saying that I always just really gets my back hair neck up is, you know, that's the way we've always done it.
Right.
How long you've been in business, you know, how many people are involved in this process? Surely there's, you know, some different thoughts on how we can make it better. And this is where I think bringing in, you know, a team like Heidelberg, you know, has the advantage of a lot of years of experience getting into a lot of different shops. You know, we work with our customers, you know, specifically. We don't share information, but there are best practices that we can bring to the table to really beef up some of those shortcomings. One of the overwhelming things that we find when we go in is the next job is just not ready to go. And when we talk about push-to-stop technology to be able to load up 50 jobs in the queue and be able to release 10 jobs at once and with a couple of clicks of a mouse and have the machine perform, what we find sometimes in the field is, and a lot of times, is that next job is not ready to go, or the plates are ready, but they're not at the press. We have to go somewhere to get those plates. They're not staged. Paper is not ready. Consumables aren't ready. And it's back to the basic checklist of making sure that everything has a place and everything's in its place, and we go from there. And overwhelmingly, that is one of the simple, basic things that just seems to get overlooked.
Right. You just mentioned everything's in its place and, you know, your checklist. So a lot of the things that we find at more successful customers, especially at ID Alliance, you know, our G7 experts and our G7 masters are tasked essentially with color alignment to like Grackle or G7 or Swap. And we've sometimes see that they go off the rails, and sometimes they don't get back. They just revert back to old habits. And what we also notice if we were to do an on-site assessment or an audit is that, you know, 2 years ago, they may have had everything in place. They were following lean practices. They were doing their 5S's, and now they're in the weeds. They're no longer measuring and monitoring, and they're just really operating in production by the seat of their pants. So I love to hear your thoughts on that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And to your point is something that we like to, you know, use the phrase fish discover water last. day to day, we're immersed in what we're doing. We're fighting fires. We're trying to get the work out the door. All good intentions. But we don't take a step back to see what's really going on. We just kind of accept the norms. Even if things start swaying away from our standards, if we've got a color set, if we've got a standard target, well, it's moved a little bit, and we know we need to just make adjustment for it and go, rather than taking time to step back and say, okay, we need to regroup, we need to benchmark here to make sure we're still staying with our targets, because ultimately it's just going to result in more downtime, more waste, less throughput. It's making sure that everything is working together. Is the equipment performing where it needs to be? If not, what's going on with the equipment? Are we running the press, or are we fighting the press? Do we need to get Heidelberg in to take a look and say, you know, let's take a look at this scripper, this whatever the case may be, make sure that we're getting them. Do the operators understand the equipment? And many times, as I was talking earlier, the equipment's getting more and more sophisticated. So, you know, we always prided ourselves on being quite the craftspeople. Now we need to have a little more computer savvy and be able to deal with the technology. So maybe it's just a little bit of training, but we need to maybe bring somebody else in like Heidelberg, let them analyze, and then do some internal analyzing. You know, take somebody from another department and walk them through and say, just ask why. Watch what they're doing and ask why they're doing it. And this is where, you know, never stop asking why, because oftentimes all it takes is a fresh set of eyes. And then you start analyzing, well, why do we do it this way?
Right.
And this doesn't make sense. I can recall in the shop that I managed years ago, we did some of this, and we were occasionally getting plates that were bent, and we'd have to spend time, you know, did a little bit of damage on the corner or something like that. Well, we had some very nice wooden racks that these plates would get into. The problem was the girl in the pre-press department who walked them out was only 5 feet tall and couldn't reach to get the plates in the rack. All it took was taking the racks and turning them on their sides. That was the end of the problem.
Yeah. No.
So, you know, just being able to look at it from that level sounds simple. But really, you know, we know that it's not doing, you know, extraordinary things. It's doing ordinary things extraordinarily well. And it's just taking a different approach. Walk the job through the machine, you know, through the entire shop. You know, we sell a job, designate somebody, customer service, whoever, to walk that job all the way through and see how it performed. Find out where the shortcomings are. Finding out, did it continue to run through without stopping? If it stopped, why did it stop? Sometimes it's a lack of information. Where are the expectations from a planning standpoint? Mm-hmm. I think everybody, all the managers in each department, you know, if you look at a printing press, printing department, you know, if you are seeing that job for the first time when you roll up on it during a make ready, that's a problem. That's a red flag. We should all be involved throughout the process. Get the process owners involved. If that's running on your machine, I'm going to show you this job. Do you know a better way? You know, right. Use the collective brain power that we have to make sure the job is laid out properly, that it's not going to hinder the bindery. It's going to produce on press the way it needs, the customer needs to see it, et cetera. So all that type of input, you know, when you look at planning, it's not one person. It's a group that we need to involve to make sure that we are streamlining it. I almost do an automotive manufacturing mindset.
Like
sales sells the job.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to.
And it goes all the way through without stopping.
Yeah. I was going to interject and say that, you know, lean, when we look at lean manufacturing and continual improvement in automotive, I mean, we have almost a perfected model with the Toyota production system. And
so, absolutely.
Yeah. And when we look at lean manufacturing and continual improvement in automotive, I mean, we have a very well proven over many, many years, a model for quality management and, more importantly, continual improvement, a philosophy that respects the individual that's on the floor, and there's open communication, and there's systems, you know, through lean that make that happen, not just in processes and manufacturing, but also throughout the whole supply chain. And we can apply this to design, marketing, sales, overall business functions within a corporation. And Jim, thanks for letting me get up on my soapbox for a few seconds, and I wanted to give you an opportunity as we close the podcast out to tell our listeners more about what Heidelberg has to offer as far as solutions in line with some of the topics and themes that we've already discussed that may have been staged for this year's Drupa that unfortunately has been postponed till 2021.
Well, we appreciate that opportunity as we move closer to Drupa, and it's unfortunate that we'll have to wait till next year, but all for good reason. We will introduce IntelliStart 3. We came out in 2008 with IntelliStart 1. Great system. I like it from particularly a management standpoint that all of my operators now are making ready through the same process, you know, day in, day out, each shift. They're standardizing that. It adds 8% productivity to the machine over the course of the year, mm-hmm. saves 1, 2, 3 minutes, depending on the complexity of the job. Great system when it came out, still available on some models at that level. Lacked a little bit of transparency. We upped that game last Drupa into where we had a wall screen and on the touch screen to where you could see all the processes changing. Added a something called IntelliGuide, where the machine has a line that's filling up. When the plates are coming off, it tells you in real time when they're going to be off, when they're going to be on automated, and when that machine is going to start up, all the way through the process in real time. We're expanding on that yet again with IntelliStart 3. So you have all those jobs in the queue. You can release 10 at once, and then at the bottom, that guide will fill up and tell you each job, how long it's going to take to make ready. And then it will look at all the subsequent jobs and tell you in real time when it expects to get to those jobs and when those jobs will be completed. Expanding on the big data, driving and artificial intelligence into the machine to get as much out of it. As I mentioned earlier, when the press is running, you're in a production screen. As the job is winding down, when it gets close to ending that job, a screen will pop up as a reminder to the operator that he or she can look at and say, these are all the things that are going to happen, need to happen to go to the next job automatically. If there's something that's out of sync, they can make that change very, very quickly and easily. Once the job is complete, it's all saved. Everything is done automatically. We can see real-time data, how it performed. Then it will go into a Make Ready 1 screen where we will see all those different things take place in the Make Ready changeover. Mm-hmm. There's also a separate screen. We can look at it ahead of time and see here's all the changeover items that are going to take place. But we're only looking at the screen that we're working in, so there's no confusion. The wall screen is great. Tremendous amount of information, but now we're focusing the operator on this is the screen you're going to be in for Make Ready. Once those attributes have all been changed over and completed, you're going into Make Ready 1 screen, press is pulling up, then we go to Make Ready 2, fine tuning on the counter back into production. So you're only in the screen that you need to be. It streamlines that entire process and simplifies it for the operator. Aside from that, we are looking at our impress control, just a tremendous production tool. We've made adjustments to that over the years with the algorithms to speed that up, to allow us to adjust it through Quality Assistant. If we've got a very similar form, four-color form, going to another four-color form, it'll automatically go in and start. I can tell the machine to count after 50 good sheets, get on the counter and go. I can adjust my delta E value to adjust for waste. If I've got a long run, for example, those of us that have been doing this as long as we have, we may see a little discrepancy in delta E from a 3.5 to a 2. The average consumer is not. You can set that delta E value on the Quality Assist. It will start counting automatically, throw a tag in the load, and count down to its lowest possible value that you've established through your print color management. And then it'll also, you know, have a green light or a red light. If the thing is in tolerance, it's green. If it's not, it's in red. So it's a very simplified system, again, making it easier for the new operators to quickly get the machine into a production mode and hold it there. We recently had a demonstration, just to give you an idea of some of this technology. We did a demonstration for a customer on our machine in Kennesaw, 106 8-color Perfector, that completed 18 make-readies. Some of these were test forms. were 136 plate changes, for a total of 4,775 good sheets that were produced. The average make ready was somewhere around 60 sheets, and the average run length was 50 to 500 sheets. So there were, in between there, there were also two stock changes for different substrates. The total time to complete all that was 59 minutes.
So that really debunks a lot of the myths that offset equipment is not optimal for doing short run work. I mean, when you're talking about those type of run lengths, that's usually, you know, an owner operator says, well, that job needs to go to digital.
Exactly. So that's what's possible today on a modern offset Heidelberg press, to be able to take run lengths of 50 sheets and put them on and do it productively and do it profitably.
Well said, Jim. And we're at the end of the podcast, and we, again, really appreciate you sharing your experience with us and what Heidelberg has to offer and how you integrate. I just love the story about your teams and your approach to working hand in hand with your customers. And look forward to hearing from you again on the Gamut podcast. Take care.
Thank you for having us, Jeff. It's been a pleasure, and I look forward to speaking with you again.
Thanks for listening to the Gamut Podcast. If you have ideas, suggestions, or would like to join us or even sponsor future podcasts, simply email me at jcollins@idealliance.org. That's jcollins@idealliance.org. Take care and have a productive day.